hit record. When do people start hearing us?
So they'll get notifications that we've started, and it just depends on when they want to log in. Okay. But it's within 2 or 3 minutes when those notifications.
I'm sorry. I apologize. That's not the question I wanted to ask. When does it start showing up? Because I notice what I guess I'm trying to say is that I'm seeing us now. So is it started?
Yes.
Okay.
So the stream started.
All right.
We're just giving people the ability to populate and come.
All right. Well, so what I think I'm going to do is I'll play a little music here.
You don't have the luxury of people lining up at the store as we open, right?
No, I know. So I March 3rd, 2021. And what would you like to call today's show? Anyone?
Supposed to be spring like out today.
All right. Spring. Maybe, could there be a spring hue? I think there's a bit of a spring hue. Yes.
5 degrees today?
No, not yet, Freddie. I think he's turning his headphones off. He can't hear me. Spring. Hey, spring hue today or no? Should I put spring hue down?
Yes, I think so.
Spring hue, maybe.
But what if it's the right wrong decision?
I don't know. All right, so when I hit go live, that's what I'm curious about, though. When I hit go live, it seems like we've already been, you know, doing this. Oh, it doesn't matter. So we're recording, Phil. Everything seems to be in order.
I wrote down on the board here, today only, spring.
Nice. A couple days ago, I don't know what made me think of it, Freddie, but I started adding some Joe Jackson to our library. I know you like him. It's been so long since I've heard anything from him, about him.
Yeah. Really enjoy the Joe man.
Yeah, he's got to be getting close to early 70s by now.
You'd think.
Yeah. Was that a CFNY thing for you guys? Because I played it. The station I worked at in Calgary was kind of an alternative station in the early 80s, and that's when I started playing Joe Jackson.
Yeah. Lots of Joe Jackson on CFNY in the day.
I bet. I wonder if Joe Jackson's going to... You know, it's the kind of thing, the internet is so weird, you know. Maybe Joe Jackson would hear us talking about him. And then hear us play this, you know, and then want to cover it.
Jing, 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 jing,
jing, jing, jing, jing, jing, jing, jing, jing, jing, jing,
jing, jing, jing, jing, jing, jing, jing, jing, jing, jing, jing, jing, jing, jing, jing, jing, jing, jing, jing, jing, jing, jing, jing, jing, jing, jing, jing, jing, jing, jing, jing, jing, jing, jing, jing, jing, jing, jing, jing, jing, jing, jing, jing, jing, jing, jing, jing, jing, jing, jing, jing, jing, jing, jing, Onyx Hospitality, Platinum Pro Painters, and our newest sponsor, NextHome.ca. If you'd like to talk to Humble and Fred, our Instagram account is Humble and Fred Radio. And now from the remote headquarters of the Humble and Fred Show, here are Humble and Fred.
Love, I needed love most of all.
Do you find any joy from the Jing Jing song? You should.
Oh, absolutely.
Because it's
giving. The joy that comes from it is the very fact that the quick turnaround.
Oh, yeah.
I don't want to call it a mistake. A technical glitch became a piece of content. I love that aspect.
Jing, 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 jing.
I got to tell you, the joy it gave me the first night, even on my own. All right, stop that. Even on my own, playing around with it, I got a lot of... It made me happy.
Here, let me put it this way. Phil, what he explained to us before the show, it made me jing when I heard it.
Yeah, why don't you explain what you were telling us there, Phil, that the phrase jing jing means what?
Yeah, quite conveniently, Fred, when you malfunctioned there, jing means ejaculate or sperm or essence of something. Yeah. So
essence.
Ding, thou ding.
So when I heard the bit, jing jing,
ding,
wouldn't be the first time I loved a bit.
You scrambled your eggs and the ding came out.
Ding 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 ding. So this is the sound. Is this the phrase in Chinese? Like, I think I'm going to jing jing.
It's one of the ways. Yeah, it's Mandarin ding. Yeah.
Use it in a sentence, Phil, like a complete Mandarin sentence.
Okay. Have you spilled your sperm yet?
Okay, say that again for us.
Have you spilled your sperm?
And is that something you ask or somebody asks you?
Is someone asking you if you're jinging out, then someone asks you if you've jinged or not.
Oh, so when it's singular, you don't say jing jing, you just say jing.
Just jing. You're splooging. Oh, okay. So it's all just right.
Wow.
Welcome, internet people.
Well, it's worth it then. So is this something you say in the middle of the activity with Pearl? Is it like, I'm going to jing? You know, hang on.
Theoretically, some that's jing's what she would coming. Say. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, she would say it.
Yeah. So have you jinged yet?
Wow.
Or is the jing coming?
Is the jing
coming?
Are you
coming, basically? Yeah, yeah.
Phil, give us, hey, this is video. Give us your jing face.
Oh, yeah.
Jing, 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 jing.
Just one more time for you people that just joined us. This is Phil giving us his jing jing face. Phil,
jing 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 jing.
Hey,
Jesus!
It just reminded me. Remember that guy that was interning with us for 3 weeks?
Oh yes,
Paul.
Remember he was doing that bit where he was like pretending to jing jing as different celebrities. Whatever happened to that guy?
Yeah, never checked back in ever.
Yeah, I was ghosted. I think he liked an Instagram thing I had last week, but that's it. Nothing.
Because the last we heard, you had sent an email to him to engage and say, hey, if you want to pop in, let everyone know what you're up to.
I said, Mama and Papa miss you. Come on back if you like. Let me know.
Yeah.
We'll jinx some more.
Welcome, everybody. The Retirement Sherpa, our good friend Tim Niblett will be with us. That's what we do on Wednesdays. We talk money, finances, and all things portfolio. As well, another good friend of the show, not that kind of rabbi, Ralph Ben Mergy, will join us today. And I think you're all going to enjoy that conversation. I know we're looking forward to it. A couple of things that we're going to get to. We've got a Patreon, our very first Patreon-only Hundy P podcast experience for people that have given us some money. And before we get to all these emails, there's two people we want to acknowledge, Freddie, that have sent us money.
Yes. And I'm going to send them a note today. Let me just get there. It's Anita May.
Yeah.
And Paul Stockton.
Is that the now Paul Stockton that was our intern?
No, that was Paul Schaefer or whatever his name was. What was his name?
Schubert.
Huh?
Schubert. Oh, that's right. Schubert. Sorry, Paul.
It sounds like a noise too, right?
I apologize. That's not. I was thinking of Paul. It's Paul Schubert was our intern.
So Anita May and Paul Stockton, what they did when the number $12.67 first came up, they jumped the gun and immediately sent us that money through an Interact transfer. So did my brother-in-law, Clyde Joseph, and I haven't accepted his either. So I have not accepted these because I just didn't feel right doing it through collaboration. We thought, nah, let's not take that money. Now, Anita May and Paul Stockton, if you would like to, cancel that transfer and then redirect it to Patreon, that we'd like that if you could, if you want to. And then that opens all the doors to Patreon goodies within the Humble and Fred Show. Right?
Yeah, I was just thinking while you were saying that. So we've acknowledged that. I think you were going to also send them a note to become a Patreon subscriber. And again, we're just new at this. We've talked about it. Makes us a bit uncomfortable, but we're getting used to it. And we're going to do something for you. We wanted to figure out a way to sort of make a special Patreon only experience. And what we're going to do on Friday at about 11:30, we haven't figured out exactly when, for people that have subscribed at any level, whether it's the, you know, the highest level or whatever level you've subscribed to us on Patreon. And this might be an incentive to sign up. This Friday, we're going to send a special link to Patreon-only subscribers where you're going to be able to pop in and be part of our Friday podcast. We're not going to do this every Friday, but once in a while. And we'll publish that podcast so everyone can hear it, but only Patreon subscribers will have a special code that gets them into that Zoom meeting, and you become part of the show. I don't know how long it's going to be, probably half an hour, 35, 40 minutes. We'll just shoot the shit, and we can answer any Humble and Fred questions, or we can just have you as guests on our show. Did I cover most of that?
No, absolutely. It could be like one of those town hall things that
could
some of
be
the
that
radio,
exactly.
radio stations have where we, you know, just anything you've ever wondered or thought about the Humble and Fred show or Humble or Fred or Phil or Dan or whatever, we'll be here to answer those questions.
It's a great point. Maybe we'll ask. I know Phil's busy because he's got a real job now, but maybe we'll see if Dan Duran will pop in as a special guest. Maybe people have questions for Dan. Anyway, if you're...
Well, wait a minute. Has Dan paid his $12.67?
Well, on a page is two.
Yeah, we're... I'm going to say, Dan, you can join, but we need at least $2 from you. If you want to know how to subscribe to our Patreon page, it's at humbleandfred.com. Also at humbleandfredradio.com. Both those URLs will work.
And our latest $12.67 patron is Eric Magditch, who's been a longtime supporter of the show. Always saying nice things about the show, contributing, you know, through social media, and now contributing through his wallet. Thank you, Eric.
Yeah, very, very nice. In the meantime, we've got a lot of other people. So did that get, Phil, did that seem like we got most of it there?
Yeah, that's most of the jing, right?
Most of the jing was just spent there. All right. In the meantime.
Emails.
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 Time for
emails.
Let's read some
emails.
Hi, guys.
Hi, guys.
Hi, guys.
Arapeepa.
Hi, guys.
Arapeepa.
Man, we got a lot.
Hi, guys.
This is from Thomas Shitka. Do you have the? Do you have that one that I...
Yes, I do.
Okay.
It's open.
Mm-hmm. It says, while I believe both Howard and Fred have occasionally stated they're uncomfortable having Zoom video enabled for the Facebook feed, I, for one, am happy your cameras are on. He goes on to say, seeing you pushes audience engagement, facial expressions, body language that are so important in basic communication. Goes on to explain when he listens. So thanks for adding video to your Facebook feed. Please keep it up. Your devoted fan and Hundy P. What a guy. Thomas. Thank you.
Thank you, Tom.
Thank you, Thomas.
Alan Matheson.
Yeah.
Hey, kids. Here's a few ideas for kickbacks to Patreon contributors. Birthday shout outs from Dan Duran. Doll recipes. Special Zoom shows, which we talked about today. And a monthly draw for a rub and tug on the Queensway. That's great.
Did we ever... I know we sent Phil to Muse. Did we ever give away? I can't remember. I know we sent Phil on an expedition to a rub and tug, but did Phil... Did we ever actually give one away or just...
No. I think we sent a guest there once, but that's really it.
Okay.
Yeah, well, I think there was some legal issues there.
Was you there? Can't
be, yeah, you can't be giving away sexual contact.
Okay. Well, very good.
But that's, it's funny, monthly draw for a rub and tug on the Queensway. So, nice. A free jing from Humble and Fred.
Jingle all the way.
Yeah.
Jing, 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 jing.
All right, Freddie, I made a mistake. Not that I don't want to read all these emails, but the ones that I sent you are the ones that are way, way down. They're at the very... If you sort of scroll through these emails, I know there's like five different messages I sent you. So
yes.
So Mike Parker is the next one that came up on your...
Right. Okay. You don't want to do that?
No, I just think just what we'll do is I think we should sort of quickly get through these because these are like 10 days old or 5 days old.
Okay.
So Mike Parker, he says, hello, boys. This has come up a few times recently. I send the attached documents. Oh, I know what Mike did. Oh, I know what I did. And by the way, I shared this with our Patreon subscribers. What he did, Phil, is he put together an archive list and a link to all our past shows. So thanks, Michael.
Thank you, Michael.
Fantastic. Greg V.
Yes.
We were talking about Andrea Horvath, and Doug Ford had suggested her voice sounded like nails on a chalkboard. And we were trying to figure out how is that misogynist? Anyway, Greg thinks we missed the point. He was basically saying if that was a man who was speaking, he would have never said that. And we understand that perspective and answered him back. And it was resolved, basically.
So that item is now behind us?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. All right.
Email.
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 Okay. Hello, people. Hello, people, says Rick Cameron. And he goes on to talk about this documentary that you say you weren't familiar with, but I can't remember. It got convoluted there. It was a Robbie Robertson documentary we were talking about.
Yeah, a couple of years ago on the show, we were talking about Robbie Robertson. And somewhere down that crazy river, I was saying how much I really enjoyed that song and then that album, Robbie Robertson. And I said, Showdown, a Big Sky, another song. You hadn't heard of that song or didn't remember it. Anyway, Rick let us know that there's a new Robbie Robertson documentary out and we should watch it. And he sort of got mixed up in what you knew and what I knew. And again, resolved.
Excellent. Rick also said, hey, he sent me a note asking if I had seen that thing, old Jewish people telling jokes. I had, and I find it humorous. Thank you.
Well, that's half the Humble and Fred show every morning.
yeah, not even.
Email,
email,
email.
Yeah, that's
email.
What it is. One old Jew telling jokes.
Email.
I'm for it. So now this is now the one. This is from Judy Hill. That's where I'm starting here. Okay,
I get it. Got it.
Says I listen every morning as I deliver newspapers to the show. I listen every morning as I deliver newspapers to the show from the previous day. I have to tell you, this morning I spit my coffee everywhere when Howard started to sing along to Fred's repeating, obviously, the Jing Jing song. Because as soon as it happened, I looked at Phil, because immediately it makes you think of, you know, this. So we almost, I don't know if you've heard it yet, but I started singing that, and then Phil and I, we kind of have a nice little, at some point, a bit of a harmony going, Phil.
Right.
one thing I will say about Phil, I don't think people appreciate, Phil is always up for nonsense. You know what I mean, Philly?
Well, I'm up for the jing jing, yes.
No, you are always ready. If I say something silly, you're ready to go along with it. Anyways, thank you, Judy Hill, who enjoyed the jing jing. And I'll quickly also say, the subject line came in, love the jing jing from R. Burns. Now you can pick it up at the next one.
Email. Yes.
Oh, this is the heartfelt one.
Email. Yes, this is a bit lengthy, not too long. I'm going to read it all. Hello, Humble and Fred. I have to listen to you guys forever. CFNY days, I have listened to you forever, is what he's saying. CFNY days, and saw you on the news in 2011 when you announced that you were doing a podcast. Congratulations on quitting radio. Just like you say, you guys have always lifted my spirits. In 2011, I was diagnosed with MS. 2016, I came back to visit family in Barrie. I live in New Brunswick. And during that trip, my dad had a stroke. Did plan on going...
He planned on coming to see us, I think is what he's trying to say there.
Okay, can you continue that? I
said I planned on going to see you guys at the Squatty Potty Studios, but couldn't make it due to my father's stroke. In 2021, my mom just found out she had cancer, and on Friday had a heart attack. And on Friday, I think he had a heart attack.
Right.
After putting my dog down, because he sent us a picture of him in the hospital and a picture of his sweet dog that he just had to put down. Anyway, he just thanked us. You know what I didn't do? I didn't include his name. Do you have his name from the original?
I'll go and get it.
Is it Kevin? God.
Let me.
He says, fuck FM, fuck MS, fuck strokes, fuck cancer, and fuck COVID-19. Wishing you all the best.
Yes, very nice.
And do you, I apologize, because when I cut and pasted, sometimes when I do it, I miss the person's name.
It was Stephen Kelly.
Stephen Kelly. Very nice.
Yeah.
Emails.
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 Time for emails. Read some
emails. Okay, this one is also long, but it's very nice. Adriana Rerersich. I don't know. Stop. Can we just acknowledge that Phil looks like he's doing the show from heaven today? Do you see him?
I know.
Baby angel.
Looks like he's ascending to the heavens. Howard, can you do this one as well, too? Because the way it's formatted, the way you sent it to me, I have to scroll sideways, and it's very confusing.
Okay, well, it's very long, and as Hunty Peas know, the old guys sometimes don't go through the entire email, but the gist of what she says, hi, Humble and Fred, I know it's a bit tardy. I wanted to say congratulations on firing radio. I really like how honest you both are when speaking about this leap from terrestrial radio to the landscape of podcasting. She goes on to say, I'm sure it's freeing. I'm happy for you, Dan and Phil, and the other guys and gals who are helping you with your show. You make me laugh. The jing, jing, jing had me laughing so hard I was crying when you played that. She goes on to talk about the discussion from yesterday when you and I were saying how the society has changed in terms of the way we interact with celebrities, the Britney thing, the Lindsay Lohan thing. And then I brought up the Mojo calendar thing that we went through at that time. Mm-hmm. And she makes some good points about how, you know, how society has changed. And, you know, she, how does she put it? She said, you know, a calendar of bikini clad women is another example of objectifying women. And for your past coworkers to be upset by that, it makes me think perhaps they were dealing with some trauma from a previous event. And it's a very good explanation anyway.
Yes, it is. And, you know, traditionally that could have hung in an office and women would be afraid to say something about it.
Yep.
In those early days of Mojo, because it was such a groundbreaking radio station, talk radio for men, initiated a lot of discussion. And from that discussion came, would this make women feel uncomfortable in any way? And then that sort of pushed out into the office. It did. And that was a result.
And I will tell you, looking back, I can't speak for your reaction, but I remember being a bit pissed off that, and this was 2002, we'll say, a little bit upset that we had produced this thing for our audience, but why weren't we allowed to display it in the office? But I was just learning. I didn't know. You know, it was my reaction was, hey, this is a good bit. How come I can't have it up in my office?
Well, exactly. And I think that was our first taste of one complaint can lead to a lot. Like, you know, we've often said, you know, there's this thing, Canadian Broadcast Standards Council, and all it takes is one complaint from a listener to initiate maybe an investigation or, you know, questioning a bit that was on the air by a governing body. And sometimes that's frustrating. You think that's just one person, they can cause this. And I think that office thing, I think it was just one complaint we had heard, and it was like, whoa, you know, the initial reaction is, who is that person? Mm-hmm. Why aren't they any fun?
But I can tell you now, many years later, it wouldn't have to be explained to us twice why somebody didn't want to have that up.
Well, I don't think it would ever be put up now.
No, but you know what I mean? Like, I'm just talking about how us as a society has grown in the last 20 years to, you know, to rightfully so. And I don't want to get into cancel culture, but to rightfully so be a little bit more sensitive to how things play for everybody. But thank you very much, Adriana, who also says, by the way, I was able to get a glimpse of you guys live on Facebook this morning, and you look great. Well, isn't that lovely?
Okay. Email.
Okay, Adriana.
Email.
Okay, Adriana.
Time for emails. Read some emails.
Hi, guys.
Hi, guys.
This one is from Christine Camurian. I believe is how you spell her or say her last name. You are the best. I have been a fan of Noel Casler ever since I found out he had the poopy goods on Orange Dump Man. I've heard him quite
a few. Hang on a second. Can we just talk quickly about that about the sentence? The poopy goods on Orange Dump Man? That's such a hum. That is a hum. That's a humble and Fred listener.
I would say. I've heard him in quite a few interviews, but I have to say he does it best with you guys. There's just something about the dynamic with the three of you that is awesome. She says, I could do without so much of his name dropping, but let's face it, there's a bit of a star fucker in all of us. So really, I kind of love it too. Great point. Keep on potting the pod. P.S. I no longer shower with you since you fired radio, but somehow I am now more clean. I would love to hear an episode with you guys and Noel about the possible threats Dump and his mob men have made to him. Wouldn't that be something?
Yeah.
Did he allude to that at all?
I don't know.
Yeah. It's the only possible explanation. Have you heard about Lindsey Graham's ladybugs? Ooh. No, I haven't.
I did hear a couple. I don't want to get into this. I don't want to trigger, but I did hear some of Lindsey Graham yesterday during that committee hearing. Mm-hmm. Fuck. Yeah. He is a piece of work, that guy. He really is.
No, I know he is.
He's a special, special man.
Yeah, he's something else.
So just thank
another
you.
One of the spineless cowards.
Yeah, but a special. Yeah, you just want to talk about somebody with a special perspective on things. He's something else. That's Christine, you say?
Yes.
And very quickly, the last one is from Sid, who emailed us a couple times this week. He just said, hey, guys, just finished watching today's show. Home run with Noel and his childhood stories. And that's from Sid. So just to sum up again, email, thank you. You can email us, humbleandfred@humbleandfredradio.com. If you become a subscriber to our Patreon thing, Friday morning around 11:30, it won't be available, by the way. It will not be available on Facebook Live. It will be available as a podcast. Although, having said that, I wonder what Boone's going to say. He's probably going to say we should do it on Facebook Live.
Well, again, that'll be part of the meeting, part of the development.
But anyway, if you subscribe between now and Friday morning, then you will be given access to the special Zoom meeting. And Phil, do you think I know enough now to probably create that meeting myself?
Most likely.
I think so, too. Because the last four times you walked me through it, but I have a feeling now.
After a year.
Yes, after a year of you showing me how to do it. Anyway, thanks to everyone. And yeah, it's nice to hear from all the people.
It really is. And yeah. The interaction we love, and at least once a week, it gives us a segment of the show.
I didn't tell you what you're going to do, but I think you can probably figure it out. So why don't you start with the chamber plan, and I'm going to talk about it. I fed these little young adults, social distance, in my family last night, all Onyx hospitality food, and I'll tell you about that in just a second, Mr. Patterson, once you get yourself all settled there, okay?
Yeah, Chambers of Commerce Group Insurance Plan, Canada's number one group benefits plan for small business. Chambers Plan is Canada's leading group benefit plan for, you know, companies, say, 1 to 100 employees. You can do this. It's doable. What you can do is design a plan for your company, what you can afford and the size of your company. It really is very simple. Go to chamberplan.ca, get a free quote. And again, they'll design something for you, prescriptions and dental insurance and travel insurance and the best doctor's system, which is fantastic. It can be hooked up with the best doctor for your problem. The Teladoc system, be diagnosed before you leave the home. And again, this is just an overview of the products available. Once you get into this and find out what is available, you will be impressed. You can do this for your small business. Get a free quote today, chamberplan.ca. It's too hot to sleep.
heard the sound of a jukebox coming from up the levee. All of a sudden, I could hear somebody whistling from right behind me. I turned around and she said,
I love this song.
Why do you always end up down at Nick's Cafe?
It's like a movie, this song.
I said, I don't know. The wind just kind of pushed me this way. She said, hang the rich.
So last night, Charlie and Spencer, the young adults that I've created, co-created, Charlie had the bassa, the pan-fried bassa. Have you had that?
Oh, yes, many times. Fantastic. Had it this week.
Amazing. Also, we had a sticky short rib. We sort of shared like three or four dishes. We had the sausage and pepperonata. And the meals are, it's hard to describe. It's easy to order, you know, food to your home. And you never know if it's going to come soggy or if the vegetables are going to be weak. Weak. Jesus. But these vegetables are crispy, delicious, tasty, and they're prepared from scratch every day. That's why they get delivered to your door once a week. You can go online, onyxhospitality.ca, onyxhospitality.ca. For, you know, most people, the portions are fine. For, you know, you and I think we could mow down a couple of them. But the girls enjoyed it, and it was very satisfying. All kinds of different food. Get your order in by Saturday at midnight. It's at your home by Monday at 7. Onyx 100 will get you $10 off a $100 order. And so many more specials at onyxhospitality.ca.
Well, that's the beauty of pre-portioned meals. You eat what's there, and you don't go back for seconds. And that's key to good health.
Yeah. Although, I think I've mentioned this now a couple times. My work around that is I open a second one just in case I want a little extra. You know. like the pig that I am. It's ridiculous. onyxhospitality.ca. All right. I wonder, I haven't tried this yet, Tim, but I wonder if the jing jing will work with this.
Jing 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 jing.
It works with everything. Now from his home in, I guess that's Rome, Italy, behind you. Here he is, the retirement Sherpa, Tim Niblett.
Good morning, everybody. How are we doing? I just been watching Stanley Tucci on CNN, so I was in the Roma mood this morning.
Yeah, isn't that a fantastic series?
I love it. You know, the history, of course, and everything. I mean, it's not a good thing to watch late at night because you're going to want to open up one of those Onyx Hospitality meals again, right?
Yeah, no kidding. Yeah. He's. I've watched a couple episodes. I like him as an actor, and I just wasn't sure how he'd be as sort of a television presenter, but he's such a likable guy. And seeing the scenery, I mean, you guys have both been there. I haven't. It's magnificent.
Well, back in 2016, Delise and I went with our buddy Darren and his wife Lori. We went to the Amalfi Coast, and the guy that rented us our place in the Amalfi took a liking to us, and he came over one night and cooked us dinner, and he did gnocchi.
Mm.
And, I'll tell you, that show reminds me of that evening, that afternoon. It was fantastic because he came and he walked us through the process. And, you know, the result, the final product was so delicious. And there we were in Italy and we had this Italian man cooking us pasta. It was fantastic. Whenever I watch that show, it just draws me back in. It makes me want to go back. It really does.
I'm curious. Wait a second. You were in Italy and an Italian guy cooked your food?
Jesus. Yeah, it's weird, eh?
How lucky were you?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I expected a little Korean.
No, exactly. I was just, how was it? What are the chances? But yeah, he certainly does make that country look amazing. And the food is, you know what I like about the food there? It seems to me, and you guys can comment on this, it just seems simple. You know what I mean? It's not very complicated. The sauces are simple, but they just look delicious.
And you know what's wild? All the pasta they eat over there, and obesity doesn't seem to be a problem.
Mm.
You know, in the United States, you see a lot of overweight people. Like in Italy, it's like, I don't know. It's just the balance or the portions they eat. But, you know, I mean, pasta is huge over there. But it seems to be a fit nation.
I was wondering that last night watching, too, right? A couple of the chefs that he was dealing with, and there was one from Toronto or from Canada.
Yes.
I didn't specify where she was with the Bologna episode. And I've also figured out why stations like you to stream their shows, because you got to watch the darn commercials. You can't fast forward through it.
I know. It's weird.
I finally got rid of commercials, and now they're happening all over again thanks to streaming on CNN or ABC or whatever.
Yeah, it seems odd. Let's get to the Retirement Sherpa segment. Timmy, it's always great seeing you. You sound great this morning. And I love when you send us this stuff. It's called The Visual Capitalist. And today, it's a great chart about the state of happiness and how much money influences our level of happiness. Maybe you can you know, start from there and fill in some of the blanks for us.
Well, first off, I am waiting for you know, Publix online to book an appointment for a COVID shot. So if I disappear all of a sudden, you'll know why. But
well, yeah, wait, is that what's say happening? That again? Yeah, Thomas, forget the money for a second. You're getting a vaccine.
Maybe one of the new avenues or whatever now is if you have health situations. So I think getting little German precision stuck into my chest counts for that. We'll find out. But yeah, so they got a pretty slick thing, and it refreshes every minute, and you can see all the appointments disappear in the counties you're looking at booking in and all. But there's still a hope. There's still a chance.
And did you say at Publix?
Yeah, so Publix, I think Walmart and CVS and, you know, a number of the other pharmacies are doing it. I think in my case with the medical exemption, whatever you call it, it has to go through a pharmacy, not through one of the kind of state county areas.
You said Publix. I'm thinking Publix, but I forgot they have pharmacies. I'm thinking, boy, you get a shot in the meat aisle.
Yeah, and then you can buy wine on BOGO on your way in. It's perfect.
Yeah.
I was going to get into this a little bit later. Maybe we can at some point before the show's over talk about how shameful this vaccine rollout here is. Ridiculous. But let's get back to what you wanted to talk about, which is the level of happiness that is directly correlated to money. And is it more or less than what people think?
Well, you know, I've always said to clients that, you know, money isn't everything, but it sure buys you options, right? Mm-hmm. So, and especially if you look into retirement, certainly while we're working and accumulating and all too, but retirement, you might have lost a little bit of your self-image because you're not doing the work thing anymore that you enjoyed doing, may or may not have as much interaction with people socially as before, maybe a little health situation. So I think this would be even more important, really, you know, to at least have the money to have options and all. But yeah, the median age or median amount in the States, according to this, was about 85,000 or so. That's where, you know, mild unhappiness or well-being starts switching over to more positive and gets more and more the more money you got.
What is that 85,000 number?
That's about where this is people's opinions of their own well-being, Fred, where they go from being kind of mildly unhappy to mildly happy. That's kind of the break point there.
85,000 per year? Is it?
Right.
Oh, okay.
Right.
Annual income. Okay.
And that would certainly depend on, I sense 85,000 in New York City wouldn't quite make you as happy as 85,000 in rural Florida in the panhandle or something. But yeah, that's just an average of everything there.
I like what you say about money isn't the, you know, mechanism and necessarily for happiness, but it gives you options. But in this particular case, I'm looking at the survey you sent us, and it's not so much about options at 85,000. It just seems like a standard of living that can give you some level of comfort. And as you say, it's different in different parts of the world. But it is interesting that, no money, you know, if you want to talk about being completely, you know, austere, no money isn't exactly necessarily the way to go. And a lot of money also doesn't give you all the happiness you'd think it would.
Right. And their kind of metrics for this is daily happiness and overall life satisfaction. So, of course, that's what we want. We want to be happy daily by listening to Humble and Fred or whatever. And,
yes.
You know, it's just big picture stuff. I mean, you know, I can say myself as well, you know, we do okay and business is good. And, you know, it is nice to have a little more flexibility or options or backup or whatever at any age or stage, right?
Right. And it's, you know, it's another aspect is, you know, being smart with the money that you do have. You know, I've often said, you know, my Kia will get me to the same place a Porsche will. You know, so there's that on one end and that on the other end. And based on what your income is, you live accordingly. Don't overspend at any level is basically the message.
You're getting into Buddha territory there, right? I included one of my favorite quotes there. You can have everything and have nothing, or you can have nothing and have everything.
Well, my key is something.
Yeah. I drove it for a couple of days.
So imagine how good that is.
It's not a shit box. I was smiling when Tim said, we do okay. That is the Goyim version of every Jewish person, no matter how rich they are. You ask how they're doing. They're comfortable. They're comfortable. So I guess as long as you're comfortable, then money isn't as big an issue as some people would say. Where it becomes an issue is if you don't have enough. The idea is if you want to get a hold of Tim and help grow the money you have, making sure that when you do get to the retirement stage, whatever that is, or the age, that you've got enough so that you're doing okay, you're feeling comfortable, and then you can sit around and get in touch with what really matters in this world, and that's downloading the Humble and Fred podcast.
Well said.
Timmy, do you have anything you'd like to add? I mean, I'm looking at your, I think we've covered that. What would you, are you on track? What's your number? How much is average? Where do you want us to go with this? We've got a couple more minutes of Tim time.
Yeah, well, thing with that is exactly that, right? In this survey, it was 85,000 with the parameters we were talking about. But sure, what's your situation, right? There used to be that ad a long time ago, I think it was CIBC, you know, about $1 million being kind of the goal and all. And for some people, that won't get them into the happiness mode they want. For some, that'll be all they need and more, right? So absolutely, that's a great point. It's what's good specific to them for their wants, their needs, their plans, their hopes and dreams and all that good stuff.
Well, although another aspect of this and going forward, I was reading a couple of weeks ago, the people in their 60s who still have mortgages, is that number is growing. So that's a whole other aspect of this, that people traditionally, and once you were in your 60s, paying a mortgage or having a housing cost wasn't part of the equation. Mm-hmm. More and more now it is. So that's an interesting aspect. I guess people have to plan for that as well.
I was going to tell you a fun little golfing buddy story down here. The other day he says, hey, your boy's in now. How do you feel about that? And so coyly I said, what boy are you talking about? And he says, Biden. And he goes, how's he doing? And I said to him, do you really want my opinion or are you just testing me here?
Yeah.
And so he goes, well, I'm just testing you. And I said, well, for one, the COVID thing's really accelerated. They're getting a heck of a lot more vaccinations into a heck of a lot more people. I think there's many layers of that being really good. He goes, well, that was already in motion already anyhow.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so I said, okay, so here's something new then. I don't really give a about your opinion and you don't really give a about my opinion. So let's move on.
It's interesting that they acknowledge that somehow the vaccine was already rolling out from the prior administration, but they never say that the economy was kind of already rolling with the prior administration before Trump mm-hmm. took over. It just seems. But again, we all pick and choose the facts that support our.
However, remember, end of the day, he lost the House, he lost the Senate, he lost the presidency,
yeah.
And he lost the confidence of a lot of Americans.
He also lost the popular vote twice.
So, you know, to me, that's sort of the mark of a king-size loser, but, you know.
Not according
spin
to...
spin it any way you want.
Not according to the GOP Nazis. Hey, Tim, thank you very much. Great job today. Tim.nibbleit at RaymondJames.ca. Your background looks great, and also the microphone was just magnificent today. Just amazing.
Hey,
just amazing. It's so good. It's so good.
Congrats, Howard.
All right, my brother. Take care. Great seeing
great
you.
Great seeing you guys. Enjoy all right. Profit all. Evu fidi.
What time of the day does Phil? Is it? Are you leaving soon, you baby angel?
I'm here for a few more minutes. Yeah.
All right. Because yesterday you just kind of left. We were in the middle of talking to somebody, and I just wondered if people were like, "Where did Phil go?" Well, because Phil's got a regular gig now.
I'm Harold from Red Green now. I'm growing up, and I gotta go do my thing.
Yeah, well, we're very proud of you. Of course, Phil, why don't you tell us before you go that you're at CDN Technologies, what it is you're doing, and how people should benefit from CDN Technologies business.
You know, working in this office for the past couple of days, I've seen a lot of very interesting stuff that happens behind the scenes at CDN Technologies. But if you want to just trust Barb and the great team here at CDNTechnologies.com, they can make your computer systems and networks efficient, safe, and straightforward. CDNTechnologies.com. Check out their data backup solution services or cloud computing, IT services, and support. Believe me, there's a lot of great brains here that can help fix whatever problems you have. If your network's slow, they can help speed it up and find out the problems. In fact, call us at 905-542-9759 and ask for a network assessment. Find out what your holes are, and we can help you fix that. CDNTechnologies.com, ask for Barb, or call me.
That's right. When it will today or tomorrow be the day if somebody called CDN Technologies, and will you be answering the phone?
I'm already here.
Amazing.
Oh, you got to put that to the test.
Apparently, some people have taken 2 weeks to learn this stuff, but I've already, you know, gotten into that responsibility, which is great.
Well, I don't think there's any doubt that considering the last guy she hired from our show, you're going to do just fine.
You know, Barb the other day said, Phil, thank God you're a non-smoker.
Yes. Yes, thank God.
That's really it.
We've always said that. Hey, all right. Have a great day.
All right. Take care.
I wonder, you know, you hire somebody, and even though they do their smoking outside, when they walk into the office, they stink of cigarette. That has to be unsettling if you're not into that.
You know, you and I and our guest, Ralph, we all worked in the business when you could smoke cigarettes in a studio. Like, I remember, you know, that sort of, you know, sitting around with your Java and your Chesterfield Kings. You know how we did. Back in the day, here's a guy that's been in broadcasting as long as we have and yet continues to, you know, met out his sagacious thoughts. You know, he's connecting with people on many levels, and it's always a pleasure to welcome back to the program Hamilton's leading klezmer aficionado. It is the Rabbi Ralph Ben-Mergis. Look at you.
What?
You look great.
Thank you. I just trimmed my beard just for you guys. Aww. Just like Fred didn't trim his beard just for you guys.
Oh, no, I trimmed mine the other day. It's my hair I haven't trimmed.
Yeah.
Are you going to get a haircut?
Or yes, at some point.
Are you just digging the idea of I have a good excuse to just let my hair grow?
No, that partly. Yeah. I'm looking for a good long hair haircutter, though, because I don't want to cut it all off. But I don't want to go into some place and come out looking like a woman who's just had her hair done. You know what I mean?
You could have said it better, really.
Get some like little what do they put in, little twisty things in there?
Yeah.
Q-tip. Yeah.
Fred and I and Dan were working on the studio the other day, so I've had occasion to see Fred in person a few times recently, and as I said to somebody, I said, you know, he looks a lot different in person when you see the whole part of it than he does on the screen, because you're getting kind of a, you know, this close-up, exaggerated view. Anyway, you look good. You know, I was going to let my stubble grow another day, but I was with my lady friend yesterday, and she said, by the way, on the weekend, will you have shaved by then? I said, whatever it is you want. Whatever.
Oh.
Whatever.
Well, if you leave it at the stubble stage, it hurts.
Yes.
The partner.
Yes.
So you got to get past that to the beard stage, and then it doesn't hurt anymore.
But I'm at the age now, and I think you guys can relate. Any inkling of a buy. If there's any buying signals, I'm in. You want me to cut my hair, shave my beard? I don't care. Shave one of my eyebrows. If you're letting me know that there may be something up this weekend if I shave, I'm fine.
Clean my glasses.
That's right.
Well, you don't want anything to have consequences.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? The heck does that mean?
It's an inside joke. It's stupid.
Earlier in the show, it's okay, Ralph. You're too above that kind of talk.
Yeah, it's not the kind of thing we would involve someone of your station. For a long time, Ralph Ben Merge has been a great leader in the world of broadcasting and television and radio, and now spends his days with his own podcast. But I want to get back to, I want you to put on your political hat for a second.
Sure, sure.
You know, you've
do that too.
Yeah, you've done some work, do some work with the Green Party, but you've been around politics a long time, and it's easy for us Canadians to make fun of the Americans and their Nazi stages at CPAC and all this other bullshit. But what is the problem, in your opinion, with our vaccine rollout, and why are we so far behind?
Well, actually, my wife and I were talking about this. She's a former journalist as well. And I think one of the things could be the fact that there are 13 jurisdictions, right? Because every province and territory has jurisdiction over how it rolls out the vaccine. There's no national program. The federal government supplies the vaccine and purchases the vaccine, but it doesn't have the responsibility of rolling it out. So every province is doing it differently. Some are more efficient than others. Some do it better than others. But here in Ontario, it seems to be highly reactive, very inconsistent, no clear, transparent, and educated view of what to do. It's just the people have a lot of anxiety, and it's not being met with real communication where people say, okay, look, you're going to get it in this order. They try, and then they kind of take it back, and then they kind of don't take it. It's like the lockdowns. Mm-hmm. They do them, they don't do them. But in the States, they're having the same problem with lockdowns and things like that. But what they do have is a federal distribution of these vaccines. Like, so they make deals with the pharmacies and say, we're going to give you the stuff directly. You're going to just give it out to whoever walks in the door. We are much more regulated about it and doing it in a very awkward fashion, I find. And I'm not sure, I mean, we don't even get to know where the outbreaks are. Like, the information is so scant. So if 97% of the deaths are people 80 years and over, obviously you want to vaccinate people 80 years and over, right? But on the other hand, everybody's got a right to it, but it's not happening in any kind of a, where do I go? Like, I went and had a test done a couple of weeks ago because I had to be in touch with somebody, and I just wanted to make sure I was kosher and they were kosher. And it was, finding my results took me quite a while. You know, they gave me the sheet at the place. First, they said, you don't really need to do this, and you're wasting people's money by getting your test. And I was just like, you know what? I'm allowed to sort of look after the health here. And this is a doctor sort of lecturing me. And then afterwards, I get this sheet that says, oh, just go to this. So I go to this. It says, what's your medical number? It should have said, what's your OHIP number? Because I didn't know what medical number was. So I had to find out and go through. So nothing is easy and nothing is smooth. But politically, it's a huge football for politicians, this thing. It can sink or swim you. Right now, federally, they're trying to figure out if the Liberals are trying to figure out if they should go to the polls, because they could get a majority right now, according to the latest polls. Because they have Ontario, Quebec, and the Atlantic provinces, and they're a third of the seats in BC. So if you, like, they're killing in Ontario and the Atlantic and Quebec. They're really doing great, especially Ontario. And if you can win Ontario and the 905, you win.
And what the hell would that be based on? Like,
I think because the alternative, the conservative alternative so far, O'Toole, is doing no better than Scheer. He's not instilling. Like, did you see that ad he did with the porta potty? He says, oh, you know, he's standing in front of the PMO's office, the Prime Minister's office, and says, you know, Trudeau's in here right now, but we're going to make sure that the next time you see him, he, and then looks around the corner at a porta potty, that he's in there. And you're thinking, this guy wants to be a prime minister? So it's not a viable choice.
I know.
Their tone is always a bit off, the conservatives.
Right. But again, I see that and I go, okay. But, you know, I saw this guy in blackface a few times. I hear him never answer a question. I'm talking about Trudeau here.
Yeah.
From any research I've done, he's botched the vaccination. So I really want to get hung up on a little story that O'Toole told about an outhouse, you know?
That if you want to say, I'm better than that, you don't devolve to that. You don't go, okay, so he did it too. Mm-hmm. You know, Trudeau screwed up too. You want to be the guy who people go, oh, I'm inspired by him.
No, I know. They just keep getting in their own way, the conservatives. It's unbelievable. And on that point, and I understand the thing and the distribution here in Ontario, but do we still have anything to distribute? Why are we talking about that when we should look one tier above and say, where's the vaccinations for us to distribute?
Well, first of all, by the time they really start, and they're already starting to pour out now, and we're going to have four different vaccines. We'll have more than enough vaccines for anybody who wants them. So that initial delay where Pfizer said, oh, hold on, we got to restock, we got to retool because the demand is so enormous globally. Mm-hmm. That the politicians had to take a beating for, and they had no control over it. So we don't own the means of production. We don't create the vaccines. We're way behind on that.
I think what was frustrating for me and a lot of people watching is for the first year of this pandemic, we're coming up, I think, in a couple of weeks to the anniversary of us locking down this studio, is that for the last year of 2020, I felt a certain superiority as to how we were handling this versus the Americans. And now it's sort of weird because it seems like it's reversed. They're going to have almost the entire population vaccinated by spring.
Okay, but there's still, in America, there's 1,000 people a day dying.
I understand
still,
that.
Still.
Yeah.
Texas and Mississippi.
They're about to open it all up again.
Completely. So they'll get reinfected again, and this sort of so-called freedom, equating vaccination, anti-vaxxing with freedom.
Yes.
And masks with freedom.
No, I get that.
It's going to kill a lot more Americans. And Canadians, you know, for the most part, except for Randy Hillier and fools like that, we're just not into it. We're just like, you know, okay, well, wear a mask and I'll try not to get myself killed.
Well, there's a couple things you just brought up. One was the Texas thing, which we were going to get to at some point. Randy Hillier tweeted, we must start, this is right, I don't know if people know who this fucking idiot is, but he said, this is his tweet, we must start shaming those who wear a mask, because they shame others. The masks are coercing us to live their lie. And he goes on from there.
So Hillier comes from rural Ontario, but he also comes from the landowners movement, which was a libertarian movement. And there were a few other guys who were along for the ride with him, who were in the ledge with him, who've now been, they've lost their chance to get reelected. But they're representative of that really dark part of the Conservative Party, the Derek Sloan kind of part, you know, the ones that are really the sort of undercurrent of a mixture of libertarianism and authoritarianism that makes it up. And Hillier himself, I've been tweeting against what Hillier said. I put out a tweet, I think yesterday or the day before, that said Randy Hillier should be made to put on scrubs and to get into an ICU and sit there with people who are dying of COVID, who can't see their family as they're dying. And he should be doing this for a few weeks without break, with the same shift as these ICU nurses and doctors, are 12 to 14 hours a day. And then if he wants to say this stupidity, knock yourself out, Randy. But you've not earned the right to talk about this disease. You're just being foolish, dangerous, and arrogant. And it's an awful combination. Horrible. Right. Talks.
And to bring it around, is the best thing that could happen to Trudeau and the Liberals is to have that type of person out there.
Because yeah, but the most popular leader is Jagmeet Singh right now. He's the most popular leader in the country. But
as far as re-election, because it gets back to what you say, you know, the conservatives getting each other, they get in their way, and he's sort of considered a conservative, the Hillier, and, you know, from that part of our Canadian politics, and people just are freaked out by that. They don't want to go anywhere near that. And that's a reflection on the conservatives.
And it's what I was saying too, Freddie, just to jump on your point. that it's just always the wrong tone. Because you'd like to find, and what Ralph said I thought was interesting too, about you'd like to be inspired by a conservative politician as opposed to getting sort of stuck with that stink of that side of it. Do you know what I mean? Because it's too bad, because that's not the entire party, but it's the stuff that rises to the top.
But I think you're thinking, and I'm thinking of the old progressive conservative mm-hmm. party, the Joe Clark yeah. party, the Mulroney party, even, mm-hmm. even though he was a neoliberal as well. But in the years since Reagan, Thatcher, and Milton Friedman introduced neoliberalism, which is a really corrosive kind of extractive capitalism, where mm-hmm. you really just mine resources and human resources to the ultimate level. I mean, look at the long-term care facilities. The vast majority of deaths in those come in privately owned, for-profit mm-hmm. Long-term care facilities. So at that point, people are commodities. You have Bezos making unbelievable amounts of money, paying less percentage of tax than you or I. So we now, and a president who just got kicked out, whose best thing, as far as he was concerned, was the day he passed the $2 trillion budget that said, the rich get richer and they'll give you some of their money when they want to. Mm-hmm. And went down to Florida for a fundraiser right afterwards and said, I've just made you guys a lot richer. So that's the butt end of conservatism has now become the mainstream of conservatism. Right. They're no longer mm-hmm. fringe. These people are in the middle of, like, Derek Sloan ran for the leadership. Mm-hmm. Maxime Bernier lost to Andrew Scheer by 1%. Mm-hmm. And Bernier is out of his mind. So mm-hmm. these are the people who have their party. Parties are run by the red meat people. You know, if you're a true blue conservative at this point, you're not Bill Davis. Right. Mm-hmm. You're Doug Ford. You believe business solves everything. Mm-hmm. And business doesn't solve everything. If things are for profit, then people are a commodity and you have to reduce the labor costs and the unit cost.
Yeah, if things don't change, this country's going to be liberal forever. It is. It's just, it's a safe place to park your vote.
It was liberal forever when we were younger. Of the 100 yes, years, yeah. Except for about 10, 12 years in there, it was liberal.
But Ontario was...
governing party.
But Ontario is conservative.
40 years of conservative.
Most of my childhood, my teens, and into my young adulthood.
But that was
a different kind of conservative.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Sure. Like, I wouldn't, like, you know, I like Stephen Harper, sorry. I voted for him. I didn't vote for Scheer. I wouldn't vote for this O'Toole guy now. In fact, I want to talk to you, Ralph, about this whole Green Party thing, because I got to put my vote somewhere, and Trudeau ain't getting it.
Right. So that's the thing is people have to start understanding that what we're talking about are parties that become brokers of power. Right. I've worked in governments where people walk in the door, lobbyists who used to be in government. That's always the case.
Yeah.
And they come in the door and go, hey, great to see you, man. I'm here for the so-and-so association of milk truck drivers. And they have the influence. It's labor at its highest level, corporations at their highest level, and government at its highest level. And the government has the money.
Why is it, and I can't remember her name, we played the clip on our show last week of the woman who seemed a bit fringy, Freddie, and she was talking about something to do with the Bible, and I know what it was. She said liberals are going to normalize sex.
Cheryl Gallant.
Her quote was,
it's Edward Island.
Liberals are going to normalize sex with kids and on and on and on. But there's always a thin film, sometimes a thick film of religion involved with these people. And I want to bring up how it affects us in Canada. And I do want to get a chance to talk to you about how it seems to always bubble up when it comes to American politics.
And one thing I will say on that point, Howard, when I think of Aaron O'Toole, that would be my question to him. As long as you allow this, as long as you're not in Ottawa today trying to get her out of the party and that other wing nut out west, as long as if that isn't job one today to get these people out of your party, well, then I have no interest in your party.
And Lynn Bayak, who was a senator, who's now just, she left. They were in the middle of trying to kick her out. It's really hard to kick somebody out because they're elected in the case of the parliament, like Cheryl Gallant. But in the Senate, ironically, where you're appointed, it's just as hard to kick somebody out. And Bayak from Thunder Bay spent a lot of her life telling people that residential schools were good for indigenous people. Mm-hmm. These things were fine. But they represent a certain part of our population. You can't just say it's them.
Mm-hmm.
Cheryl Gallant has been elected many times in Prince Edward Island. You can't just say it's them. Mm-hmm. And I think what it is a misdirection of the anxiety of the age. We have existential threats that are enormous, that are too hard to put your arms around. Like climate devastation is too hard to put your arms around. You know, what am I supposed to do? Sort into my blue box? Is that going to save the planet?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Right? So you feel impotent on these things. But it's also the idea of inequity gets kind of perverted into there's powers that are dark out there. Anti-Semitism is hugely on the rise these days.
These days and every day.
Well, you know what? There was a lull in North America, right? And I used to give talks and say, you know, to Jewish groups and say, don't kid yourself, it's a rental. Every country is a rental.
Yeah.
And you have to accept that there are good times that happen, but the answer is not to become closer to that power. The answer is to remain true to yourselves. And in this case, we have people like QAnon is taking hold in people like Cheryl Gallant, who say things like, you know, they're pedophiles, because that's the QAnon line.
Yeah.
What they're really saying is we can't see the power that manipulates and controls us. And the real issues are being swept under the carpet. We're not paying attention to them because we're paying attention to the nuts. I just finished a book on surveillance capitalism. And you and I should be getting paid by every cable company in this country and every major provider in this country because we're the commodity. We are a gold mine. They are mining your data, selling it to the highest bidder. And it's coming back to you so that literally an email with some product named in the email, you'll see on your Facebook feed that product.
Yeah.
Now it's in your email. And that kind of
data mining
capitalism. Yeah. So why am I not my IP? Why shouldn't I be getting paid for the fact that you're using my information to make billions in profits?
Mm-hmm.
And then the people who have to drive around all day delivering your Amazon package from the fulfillment center, where people are getting paid as little as humanly possible, we're right back to that. Now we have cyber serfs, right? We're just serfs in the cyber economy. So because what the pandemic did was it stopped everybody from running around like chickens with their heads cut off. I mean, even the fact that Fred Dick can get up in the morning and just be on the radio and not schlep, and that I didn't schlep in to see, even though I'd love to see you guys, that I didn't have to do that and waste carbon and do all this silly stuff. It means that we're starting to look and step back a bit, I think, and just go, wait a minute, what are we really doing here? And who are we doing it for?
Mm-hmm.
And what's the compensation for it? You know, it's time to make big ideas happen in your head, not, you know, somewhere else for somebody else.
Well said, very profound.
You said something about putting your arms around, you know, these issues, and they're hard to get our heads around them, I guess. You know, climate change and such. But it's hard in our personal lives to get ourselves to put our arms around the bigger issues that confront us as human beings. So why would it be any different when it comes to all these grand ideas? But it's funny how religion, anti-Semitism, all this stuff is all sort of, it's all part of the mishmash of this QAnon, of this Trumpism. It's sort of based, ultimately, I think, like a lot of things with human beings, it's based in fear. Because if you're afraid of something,
fear or hope.
Well, maybe.
No, but those are the two campaigns you can run as a political party. It's a campaign of fear.
Right.
Try to remember when Bush Cheney had the wolf in the forest advertisement in the United States. Only think Donald Trump, the only one who can protect you is me.
Right.
Right. The strength of the totalitarian. That's what the appeal of fascism is, order. That things will be in order, and we will keep these upsetting things at bay.
Yeah. So but the weird thing is those people that are afraid that are being, so the opposite of hope being fear in this case is your example. So they're so afraid of the others that they're putting their faith in such a reprehensible character. It's hard to imagine. And yet they did the same thing in 1930s Germany. He was a reprehensible. It wasn't like he was a charismatic guy who just turned sour. He was always a bit of a misfit.
But the country itself was in an existential crisis after World War One, and it was in poverty after World War One.
Yeah.
And what he promised them was dignity. The United States has been in a slow-mo civil war for 100 years. It never really ended. And, you know, the race issue in the United States, and I would say in Canada, the indigenous issue. I mean, they still can't drink water in reserves in this country. And who are we to point a finger at anyone else?
I said that yesterday.
But the thing is, I think we have to, I want to talk about the religion thing for a second. This idea that religion is supposed to be a force of good, it is a force in whatever hand you put it in. So if you have spiritual materialists like Joel Osteen in the United States, prosperity theology, I'll tell you a little story. So I interviewed Joel Osteen. 35,000 people show up every weekend for his church, his mega church in the States, in Houston.
It's an old hockey rink where the Dallas Stars used to play.
He's the guy with all the private jets.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And great, because he says to me, I say, how does it work in this one-on-one we're doing? And he goes, well, Ralph, let me tell you. I'll just give you a small example. I'm going to the mall with my family. It's a very busy day. And I'm looking around and I'm thinking to myself, Lord, I need a parking spot. And wouldn't you know it, Ralph? I look down and there is a parking spot. And I said, well, I'm Jewish. And it kind of works a little differently for us. So for me, I'm late. I got to get into the mall. I got to pick something up. I got to get back to the house. I'm looking around. I can't find it. I'm getting upset. I'm going, okay, God, listen, I'll go kosher. I'll do whatever you want. I'll shul. Whatever you want, I'll do it. And then I look down. I see the spot, and I go, it's okay. I found one.
That's great. I got this one.
Yeah, that's the difference of seeing your spirituality as a transactional.
As transaction, exactly.
A material gain. If I do everything right, everything will come my way. And seeing it more as an ecosystem relationship with the entire world around you, yourself and the people in it. You know, I have a lot of spiritual guidance counseling that I'm doing now. And people are really anxious. People are really afraid. They don't, not just about this. They're afraid for their future, for where we go from here. And when that happens, when people, like you said, Howard, have fear in their life, they need to find someone or something to blame.
Yeah. I heard the first part of Richard Surrett's new show on Saga 960, and he went on about, you know, supporting Trump and why he supports Trump. And what's the opposite of being a globalist? What's the term in the United States when you're looking after your own country?
A nationalist?
Yeah, whatever that is. And he's a big proponent of that. And I'm thinking, you know, that's just such short-term thinking, because the world is getting smaller all the time. We better learn to share and understand how this all works, or we're going to get to the point where a lot of these places are going to start taking things, and then we've got big trouble. And I think that's what the states right now, they, with this internal thing where they want to look after their country first, that's just all fueled by fear. Like, everybody outside of the United States is the enemy, and you got to be suspect of them. And when ultimately we have to be part of a global thing.
But you take it down to a micro. But if you take it down to a micro level, in a person's personal life, it's the same issue. I need to keep this for myself because I may not have enough.
Mm-hmm.
Even if you're walking by someone on the street who's begging, and you say, "You know what? Like, I just found out I lost this gig and I got this gig coming, but I don't know where the hell the future is. I can't give you $2. You're going to waste it anyway." Mm-hmm. And off you walk. Instead of, this person has been reduced to begging, who am I to judge? Here's the $2.
Yeah.
So our own ability in our own lives, I've said this on the show before, one of the biggest industries in America? Storage.
Mm-hmm.
It's stuff. we actually have an industry based around stuff.
I know.
So it's crazy.
You know, what you said, Freddie, about eventually, if you don't think globally, some of those many are going to take from the few. Because right now we have, in North America, it's the few making it better for less. Whereas at some point, the many... I don't mean to be all Star Trek, but you know, at some point the benefit of all is going to outweigh the benefit of the few. Because Jeff Bezos, as you mentioned earlier, Ralph, I saw something recently, and maybe it was yesterday, they were talking about if there was a fair tax for ultra billionaires, he'd be paying about $5 billion a year in taxes, which would represent a more fair chunk of what he owes for being alive in this society. Because as you said, the three of us are paying more percentage taxes than billionaires.
And we're letting them because, as they say in the United States, I think it was Upton Sinclair said, Americans are not poor, they're millionaires in waiting.
Yeah. Yeah, we said that. Listen, man, always great catching up with you. I was thinking about you the other day. I've been going through this master class with this guy named John Kabat-Zinn. I'm sure you've heard of him.
Wherever you go, there you are.
There you are. He's a guy, he's probably in his mid to late 70s now. He looks amazing. But he's one of those guys that talks about mindfulness, not only on a personal, spiritual level, but just being sort of a mindful person out in the world. And maybe we could all... you know, use a little more of that. Ralph, where do we get your podcast, brother?
Perfect. Anywhere you want.
Yeah.
Just Google Not That Kind of Rabbi and all the different podcatchers will come up for that. And I've got a really good one with a jazz musician, Adrian Ferrugia, coming up this week. And the other part I wouldn't mind, if you don't mind, if you're looking for spiritual counseling, you know, the conversation is about what's the purpose of my life? What am I doing here? How am I going to get it, you know, into something that I care about? Go to ralphbenmurgi@gmail.com. And I'll be glad to set up an appointment with you.
I did a gig last week, a Jewish comedy competition, online virtual comedy competition. And you know who won? Our friend Simon.
I was hoping it was Simon Rakoff.
Simon Rakoff.
Oh my God. I come from South Africa, the piano at our house, the white keys on one side, the black keys on the other. That was one of his first jokes.
Simon's he's got a joke about how all the superheroes are Jewish, you know. What are you talking about? Batman, Superman. Listen, man, great talking to you.
All right. Thanks, guys. Take care
of
yourself.
Ralph Ben Murgi.
Good to see you, Ralph.
Hey, Freddie. What about our friends at Gig Sky? You got anything good to say about them?
Oh, yes. You know, since we entered the lockdown again and everyone is at home sharing their home internet service with all their connected devices, GigSky is available to help augment your service and avoid slow internet connections. Your eSIM-enabled device can use GigSky service, and not just your iPhone or Android phones. iPads and Windows 10 PCs with cellular service can also use the GigSky eSIM and the hotspot. Yes, the hotspot with the SIM card. Hey, connect up to 32 devices. It's wildly convenient for large groups, obviously. Go to humbleandfredradio.com, click on the GigSky badge, get all the details, and a special deal. An exclusive discount code, enter HF120 for $5 off a plan of $20 or more. All right? GigSky.com.
Find the latest in new home... Let me start that sentence again. Find the latest in new condos and homes developments in Condo Life, Homes, and Active Life magazines. All free to read at nexthome.ca, or you can pick up free copies. Thousands of street boxes, tons of local retailers, and at TTC subway stations. Condo Life, Homes, and Active Life are the largest source for new homes and condos. Get your free copy of Condo Life, Homes, and Active Life, and find your new home today. For more information, visit us at nexthome.ca.
You know, that conversation with Ralph, I've given that a lot of thought lately. You know, like 10, 12 years ago, I was a pretty staunch conservative. Like, I voted for Stephen Harper. And here we are. He talked about an impending election and the Liberals would win a majority. I'm really torn. You know, I haven't changed. Conservatism has changed. And that's what scares the crap out of me. because it was different 10, 12 years ago. Now it's just, it's nastier, it's dirtier, it's I want to say more evil, it's more selfish. So I'm, maybe I'm like a lot of guys. Like, I don't know where I sit right now in this country. I mean, forget the United States. Where do I sit in Canada? I'm going to vote for Aaron O'Toole and some of the tools that he's got under his wing.
What's interesting about what Ralph said, too, is it's not just those people. It's not just the Derek Sloans and that woman. I can't remember her name. But they represent some other Canadians that I don't know that I want to be friends with. You know what I mean? Like, there's a... And I voted for Stephen Harper. I'm not a staunch conservative, but I voted for him because I couldn't vote for... You know, I didn't wasn't a Kretchen fan. But I think for a lot of people... What you said about it, you know, just conservatives have changed. I think a lot of people always felt that way about conservative because there was always an element of it. For me, it was always a little bit of an icky element out west with some of the neo-Nazis and how the Reform Party was associated with a lot of the Canadian white supremacists. And the fact that it seems, again, and we talk about the States all the time, but we have all that stuff here. In Toronto last year, or the year before, 2019, anti-Semitism, Jewish hate crimes, and I'm sorry if you know, I'm tired of me talking about Jews, but in Toronto in 2019, the highest number of hate crimes were against Jewish people. It's not like this thing, as he said, Ralph said, it's sort of, there's moments where it lulls, but it's always there.
And let's not kid ourselves, too. I mean, the impact that Donald Trump had on, you know, the United States, North America, the world, a lot of this, a lot of his jabber down there enabled Canadians. They like the sound of that stuff because it's no coincidence that all of a sudden we heard a lot of that barking out of right around masks and COVID.
Yeah.
I mean, that all comes from that attitude down in the United States, and it's enabled a lot of, you know, far right conservatives in Canada to say, hey, there's a voice down there. I'm going to jump on that bandwagon. That's happened. And all it's done is turn me off.
Well, look at you. I didn't realize you'd listened to our buddy Richard's first show or whatever on Saga 960. But, you know, that voice of conservatism, where maybe 10 or 15, 20 years ago, you and he might have been more on a level par in terms of your opinions.
Maybe. Yeah.
Well, you'd certainly be closer than you are now.
Well, the thing is, too, and Richard, you know, he's a great broadcaster. He started the show and he said, listen, I want to be upfront with you. And he laid it all out why he likes Donald Trump. But of course, he ignored, you know, the COVID attitude, the misogyny, the, you know, the romancing white supremacist. None of that stuff was included, of course. It was all about Donald Trump wants to look after his country first. And I love that. Richard loves that. We should do that in Canada. Makes me feel uncomfortable. Yeah. In the short term, yeah, I get where you're coming from. But as I said, look at the big picture. You know, there's only so much fresh water. There's only so many natural resources. Eventually, if we don't all get together on this stuff, it's going to be hell.
And I've tried to get my head around this, like a guy like Richard, who, and as I told you, when he announced he was leaving us and going there, I had a conversation with him. I called him up. We had a nice chat. I enjoy talking to him about different subjects. But what I don't understand, and I've never gotten this, and maybe you can help. If I like Barack Obama, and I did, I like him because he has all these qualities that I admire. What I don't understand is a guy like, what is it that Richard Surrett and my buddy Lou, what do they admire about this despicable character? I know you call him the Orange Beast and all that, but he's just a bad guy.
Yeah. And then about 10 minutes into the show, speaking of Lou, on he comes. And Richard takes off the cap and releases all that hot air. I mean, seriously, it's all the same thing. Values and Richard, you're smart. You're thinking on a level that most people don't.
Yeah, yeah.
We should all know this and we should all know that. And
he's always so above us. Yes.
Yes.
I know.
So anyway, I just thought as a bud, and I thought, hey, it's his first day, and something reminded me, and I thought at 4 o'clock I'm going to check it out. And, you know, we've said that about Rush Limbaugh and Sean Hannity. They're all very good broadcasters, but you don't necessarily like what they're broadcasting. And I come away yesterday from Richard's first show, and I thought, yeah, you know, I won't be a frequent listener because it will just aggravate me.
But as I say, there were certain things to admire about, you know, even back to Ronald Reagan. You know, I didn't used to hate conservatives the way you do now, because you kind of go, okay, well, there's some policies there that I get. Mm-hmm. But I don't know if I told you I read this book about Trump, but I just don't get how do people look at that man? You know, this thing on Sunday at CPAC, he's standing up there. Do you see the stage and the white mm-hmm. supremacist symbol? You know, there's so much of that now. It's almost too much. As he said, hard to get your arms around it.
Well, we've said many times on this show, and it's what's brought me around. Forget political stripe. When we lose decency, we're in big trouble. I don't give a shit who you are and what your political leaning is. We need to hold on to just basic human decency. And that side is failing miserably with that. And that's what really scares me.
You know, when I see those people outside of the convention center there, whatever it was, wearing their Trump hats, and, you know, the kind of sort of middle-aged woman, mm-hmm. you know, sort of Trump supporter. You know, you've seen them on The Daily Show when that guy interviews those people. And, you know, it's easy to make fun of them because they are sort of a caricature. But I'm past that now, and I sort of feel a little bit sorry for them because they're so gullible. And what I'm getting at is just the regurgitation of mm-hmm. all the tropes, the faked election, the communism, mm-hmm. the socialism, and then. And I think, you know, here it almost is the definition of a cult slash religion, because
yep.
they no longer question that their leader, this great piece of shit, is just, he's a bad guy. I don't understand it, but they just accept everything about him.
Well, you know, and he's in it for himself. It's like when Ralph was talking about Joel Osteen. He's in it for one guy and one guy alone, himself. And he's using all these, and I'll say simpletons, because to take your wallet out and give Joel Osteen money, you have to be a simpleton. I mean,
well, know. if you could, Fred, why don't you replace that sentence? Why don't you replace Joel Osteen in that sentence with Donald Trump?
Well, this is my point. Yeah.
If you take out your money and send mm-hmm. Donald Trump and his CPAC, Super PAC, fundraising, mm-hmm. all that stuff. Anyway, well,
just send it to Humble and Fred Patreon.
That's right.
That's right. You would get way more out of it all.
Hey, Dan Duran, before we get to the news, on Friday, we're going to do a special Patreon-only Hundy P roundtable.
I did hear about that, yeah.
And let me just try again. I think a lot of people would love to have you on it, but of course we can't pay you. It's just a special, you know, Dan Duran right. stroke-a-thon. People will be like, oh, Dan, you love you so much, big dink. You know, that type of thing.
Yeah, I was listening earlier. So is it $12.57 I have to pay to get in? Or
$2.
Don't try and rip us off for a dime, Dan. It's $12.67.
Yeah. But, you know, okay. Listen, there's three levels. There's the $2 level. There's the $5 right. level to be a 50%er. And then there's the $12.67 right. cent level. Now, we're not obviously the $2 level people. Maybe they don't like us that much, or maybe that's all they can afford now during the COVID. We're not right. shaming anyone, is my point.
Okay. But well, I'll go online and pay my due. Yeah, okay, Frank. Yeah.
No, you yeah. don't. No. I'm Howard.
I'm just
go ahead.
Going forward, it's tiered. And, you know, there will be, let's be honest, I mean, this is a free market system. There will be certain benefits for the top tier that yes. maybe the lower tier doesn't get. We're just being honest. I mean, those people have to be rewarded on some level, but we're figuring that all out.
Yeah, the top tier people, I think what they should get to do is if there's like 10 or 15 of them at the top level, they just get to hang out with you guys for a weekend in the trailer.
Excellent.
They can hang out at Dan's great. Trailer.
Yep.
No, Dan, you don't have absolutely. To pay to get on the call. I just want to know if you want to make an appearance.
Okay. Make an appearance.
We would put that in the incentive package. So Friday morning, If you sign up to be our Patreon supporter between now and then, if you're already a supporter, you're going to get the link. You can just come on. I think we'll probably put it out on Facebook Live as well. Why not? Doesn't make any sense not to. Anyway, here we go. Dan Duran.
Dan Duran, the anchorman, comes and asks for credentials. He has none. Can't tell a headline from his bum, but his voice is nice and low. Dan Duran, the anchorman's here. He's prone to falling off his chair, but he's got a big wang, so he don't care. And his voice is nice and low.
My voice is nice and low.
Goddamn, yeah, it is. Here we go. Live from Dan Duran's Lakeside Studios. And with the help of 5 Hour Energy, it is time for the news with Dan Duran. And now, here's Dan Duran.
Okay, here's today's news. The Australian airline Qantas is again throwing shit against the wall and seeing if it sticks. It's launching. This is the same airline, by the way, that did the mystery flights. It's sold out.
I'm sorry,
they
flew what?
7 hours. They had these mystery flights that it was just a flight to nowhere. So the idea was you get on the plane. I don't know
what you're talking about.
They sold out. Sold a 7 hour trip to nowhere. They just flew around and did some low flybys and whatever, and then came back home.
Oh, back home. So it wasn't like
you didn't land.
You got on the plane and there was a destination, but you didn't know till you got there. It actually went back to where they took off.
Wow. So people got on a plane and flew for 7 hours and then ended up back where they took off. Okay. So from the airline that gave us that.
As now what Fred just said, they've got mystery flights. Now they can't leave the country. It's to a 2 hour flight to somewhere in Australia. Mm. So you get on the plane, you go somewhere, you go near a beach apparently, and there may be some wine tasting or food tasting. I mean, you have no idea. And then you get back for dinner. So you leave in the morning, you get back at dinner.
You know, once Fred and I and Delise and ex-wife Randy, we got on an airplane at like 6 a.m. I can't remember. It was one of those things where they were taking us somewhere. We flew to, I think it was the Barbados or Bahamas or something
Bahamas.
Like that. Was it Bahamas?
The day.
We spent the day there and then flew back.
Mm-hmm.
And we've done.
I would never do that.
We've done that twice. We did 2 trips like that. Do you remember the other one we did?
Oh, yeah, that was Vancouver.
Vancouver.
Out of the blue.
That's right.
For the concert, the NXS concert in that nightclub.
And you wouldn't do that, Dan? You wouldn't fly down south for one day and come back?
No. If it was for work or something, but if it's just for,
Oh, no, this was for work.
I would feel robbed.
Yes.
I feel like I get there and I'll have to go now. I'd want a vacation. I'm spending all that effort to get there.
Howard, we would have been... I wouldn't do what we did. What we did that day to the Bahamas, I wouldn't do now at this age. But hey, we were young and energetic, and it seemed like a lark. And we did it and got a few hours on the beach, a couple of nice meals, and came back. It was an adventure.
I mean, you think about those people that work for airlines. They do that regularly. You know, they fly somewhere warm. They get off the plane. You know, they have a coffee, and they fly back to this temperature.
Yeah. Wasn't that day that, Randy, there was an issue with her passport or something?
Yeah, she didn't have her passport with her. She had to get a notary public at like 6 o'clock in the morning at Pearson. We had to find somebody to stamp her birth certificate or whatever. Dan, I want to get to our next story. Dan Duran's news continues.
Yes.
Brought to you by Pro Painters. Do you mind if I just stick a commercial here in the middle of your news?
Yeah, sure. Go ahead. You know, this is the kind of thing we do here on the Humble and Fred News.
Yeah, because, there's all kinds of things here. Hang on a second. Yes, Pro Painters. Oh, God damn it. I don't have it in front of me. ProPainters.c. Oh, sorry, Dan. Dan, please continue with your next story while I find the Pro Painters thing, okay?
All right, you go ahead with Pro Painters, and I'll tell you about, I don't know if you guys have ever done any garage sailing. I'm a big fan of it, and I love a good sale, and I always think, maybe if I buy this thing, it'll be worth something. Mm-hmm. And then, I leave it going, well, all of the least interesting stuff at a garage sale to me shows up in stories like this. A small porcelain bowl that somebody bought at a Connecticut yard sale for $35. It turned out to be a rare 15th century Chinese artifact, one of only seven bowls to exist in the world. And it's going to be auctioned between $300,000 and $500,000 at Sotheby's on March 17th.
Wow.
Wow. Yeah.
You never know.
The bowl itself, you go to any Chinese restaurant and there's sort of those Chinese bowls that you just, you know, get soup in with the blueprinting on it and, you know, lines and stuff.
Yes.
It's
yes.
like that.
Wow.
It's just like that.
Yeah. You have a lot more patience, no surprise, for the, what do you call it, garage sale, you know, shopping. Yeah. I've done a couple of them in my time. And I remember the first one. Ex-wife Randy and I had a garage sale, and I was literally on the lawn offering people a dollar or 50 cents to just take the shit away and to get off my lawn. Yeah. It's like, here, take it.
Is this a dollar? Would you take 75 cents? I said, here's 75 cents.
Garage sale season's almost upon us.
Yeah.
Yes, it is.
Dan Duran, do you have a third? I'm sorry, Freddie. Does Dan Duran have a third story for us today?
I certainly do. Hold on to your catalytic converter. Apparently, the theft of catalytic converters is way up due to the precious metals that are inside the converter. That being platinum, rhodium, and palladium.
Mm.
Those metals are now more valuable than gold. And so what people are finding is that their catalytic converters in the middle of the night are being cut out of the car.
Mm.
So you show up the next morning, you start your car, and it sounds like it has no muffler because it has no muffler, basically.
They're expensive, too.
Wow. They are. They can get up to $4,000 if you have to replace them.
Mm-hmm. Jesus. Dan Duran, great job today. Brought to you by PlatinumProPainters.com. Toll free 1-888-306-0101. A full service interior painting company striving for perfection and getting there with great 24-hour customer service. I don't know how to tell you. It just looks so good in my kitchen. They did what? Basically took the doors off, sanded them, painted them, put them back on. The place looks like it's brand new. Revive your older style kitchens. Like I did, brand new doors at a great price as well. More information at PlatinumProPainters.com. Do you not have one last one to do as well? Or are you all done?
I'm all done.
I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to the other fella.
Oh, right.
No.
Did Chambers Plan and everything?
Chambers Plan, Gig Sky, Sherpa was done. Phil did CDN.
Okay.
We're covered.
So there's an outside chance that Dan Duran will be part of our Patreon Hundy P roundtable, town hall, whatever you want to call it. That'll be awesome for the folks. Go to our website, humbleandfred.com. Click on the Patreon symbol there, and we'd love to have you. Dan, great job. Thank you, sir.
Right. We'll see you tomorrow.
Well, yeah. Am I going to see you later today? Are you coming to get your computer? Is that today or are you going to come tomorrow?
That's today.
Okay.
That's today. Unless you'd want me tomorrow, then I can do it tomorrow. My schedule is a little bit open today.
Why don't you and I figure it out after? I've got a board meeting for this condo association tonight, so I don't know if it's the best. Yeah, I know. Yeah, I love that. But
Do you guys have it in the parking lot or something?
No, we do it on Zoom.
It's all neighbors.
Worst decision I ever made. Oh yeah, I'll be on the board. So bad. Just hate it.
I don't want to talk on your balcony.
I don't want to talk about
each other.
Here's the thing. I don't want to talk about vents. I don't want to talk about the parking lot or the arm. I'm done with it. Let someone else do it. Anyway, we'll talk after the show. Thanks, Dan.
All right.
What do you got? Anything left here? We talked about Randy Hillier. We talked about the. I didn't really get into this. You know, it's funny the stage that they had at that. Why do they always have to have something that looks like a white supremacist fucking symbol? Why do they have to do that?
Why?
I know, you know, and again, yeah, sick of saying the word Trump, but, you know, those supporters you ask, like, what do they see? Like, look what he has spawned. Like, look what he's created.
Yeah.
And all he had to do, you know, and he could... Anyway.
I don't know.
He could have had it all, and he just fed those lions?
Well, you read the same book I did. There's no way he could have had it all because it's the kind of guy he is.
Yeah.
You know, what's scary, and I think we talked about this a few months ago, is think about the support that Donald Trump has garnered, and you can't take it away from him. Mm-mm. Think about the support. And if you could go back to 2015 when he came down that escalator, and I know you did, but we all thought it was a joke. Mm-hmm. So imagine what a bad guy he is. The scary thing is, what if the next guy comes along, doesn't look quite as bad as Trump, mm-hmm. but is espousing the same mm-hmm. nonsense? That's the scary thing. Mm-hmm. It's because the appetite for this kind of behavior is there in America. It just mm-hmm. is.
And the shocking thing in the United States right now, I think there's 43 states right now that have pushed bills forward to make it harder to vote.
Yeah.
So that's what it's all about.
That's right.
And you know, some of them are, it's like in the black communities, like no voting on, I forget exactly how it goes, but the research shows that in a lot of in black community early voting, they would go to church and then go and cast their vote, part yep. of a ceremony, whatever.
Yep.
So they want to eliminate Sunday voting. In some of those black communities, they only want the polls open between 9 and 5 because they know those people will be at work and won't ask to leave to vote. Like, it's unbelievable.
Yeah, there was a church group, that thing you're talking about, this thing they were doing is that churches would round up people and help mm-hmm. them get to the polls to vote. Well, they want to, you know, outlaw that. Yeah, it's... It really is beyond, I mean, and every day we could say the same thing. Wow, did you ever imagine you'd be saying that about this? Anyway, let's take, I guess that's it. I don't know how long that was, but that's long enough. And like I said, Friday we'll do a little extra, have some fun. You can, you know, it'll just be a little fun half hour, 35 minutes. We'll just shoot the shit. No agenda. We'll talk to anyone that wants to get on this Patreon thing. You know, you'll be our guest that day, and maybe we'll ask you about your life. Maybe you want to just plug your business on that day. It's all there for you. Okay, sir?
All right.
All right. See you, everybody. Just before I stop recording here, just go check the live stream there. Make sure we're done. I don't have it up. And for everyone else who's listening, we'll see you tomorrow. A little up the road from the habitations and the towns we know. A place we saw the lights turn low.